Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans report the critical thinking hanger. Ranger fans report the critical thinking hanger.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Hey, good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Wednesday, April 9th. My name is Jim, and as always, I am joined by my partner, the Lord of Ronkonkoma Fell, Lord Eddard Geik. Eddard, Ned, as you are known to your friends, how are you, sir?
Ned.
I'm doing well. I'm happy. I'm pleased as punch. We are going to the show once again. We are playoff bound. And let's face it, this is when the real wars start between the clans of the National Hockey League.
That's right, the Seven Kingdoms.
The Seven Kingdoms, and we get to laugh at the teams who haven't made it after the braggadocio of their fan base. And we reign supreme as making the playoffs. So we
will laugh at the Theon Greyjoys of the conference.
Yeah.
Those that have been castrated. Beheaded.
I forgot about Theon Greyjoy. They didn't even... Him and Stannis didn't get much play in the opening of Games of Thrones.
They did not.
Thrones.
And I know it's a hockey show, but fuck it. What'd you think of the season premiere of Game of Thrones?
I think it basically was kind of a refresher to get us back acclimated with the storylines. However, I did like the Arya part at the end was good.
Spectacular. She got her
vengeance
needle back.
That's right. Vengeance is always good. And I want to see some vengeance on the Philadelphia Flyers, if that is who we are going to face. Now,
the Hound getting some great lines the other night, by the way. Just wanted to throw that out there. One last thing. Some great lines.
Yeah, the Hound was great. Great episode. Very thirsty.
All right.
Man.
I'm going to steal a line from your page. Let's get down to brass tacks. Let's get down to beeswax. Let's get down to business. Take us away.
Well, I think the first thing I wanted to bring up was that at the end of last year's playoffs, in the exit interviews, there were certain players that stepped up and said we had had enough of this coach, one of them being Henrik Lundqvist, who really wanted a more offensive team. I think they got that, and they were able to keep pretty much really solid defensive team as well. So in one of the rare cases, I think the players, it wasn't the players, it really was the coach. And usually the players will use the coach as an excuse. Now, I think the players will bear out more if the players were right indeed. But I think for the most part, this was a pretty fun season to see goals go in. And there were a lot of positives. I thought there were a lot of positives in what I consider a transition year. So I'm glad to make the playoffs. We talked about last week. I'd like to see a second round, a good performance in the second round. I'll be happy with that. After that, it's gravy. You know, it's all gravy. So that's where I stand with it.
I'm right there with you. You know, I texted you this last night, and, you know, I was really watching this team last night was an absolute joy. They didn't get off to a great start. $1 million shampoo goaltender did what an $8 million shampoo salesman's supposed to do, kept them in the game until they found their sea legs. And once they were off, and once they were going, honestly, you've watched 40 years of this team or close to it. Have you ever seen a Ranger team this fast?
No.
Not only fast skating, but fast in moving the puck. I mean, they were all over the Zuccarello and Brassard and Pouliot and Jasper Fast, who all of a sudden we got him back fast from Hartford. He looked good last night, I thought.
He looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. No, he's definitely got some speed. I mean, the thing is with him, it's like, bottom line is you got to score goals and put points on him when you're up here. And he hasn't been able to do that. But listen, he's 22 years old. After the injury, he had a pretty good season in Hartford. You notice how Sam referenced that he's been playing with Ryan Bourque? Like, Ryan Bourque's never going to see him later. He's been playing. Ryan Bourque has been setting him up, you know, so we got to bring him. But I think he just wanted
well
to get...
I playing with Mrs. Bourque. It ain't going to matter.
Ryan Bourque.
Play with Bourque.
Right. Bourque. But, first of all, I mean, I want to give the big ups. First of all, I think one of the biggest surprises this year is the boy Cam Talbot. I mean, this guy, he really... We had been saying the Rangers don't have a backup goaltender. They've been flying by the seat of their pants for years. And that was something that I think that was a real big plus, I mean, for the Rangers. It was a big surprise. And he did a tremendous job. He never had that streak where he kind of came back. He just improved and stood with it the whole year, which for a goalie in his first year in the NHL is very impressive. You know, he never crumbled.
Right.
So,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he was a big surprise. Benoit Pouliot has been an absolute, after a slow start where we really jumped on him hard. Because usually when they
especially
get these,
me.
We all did. I don't think there was a Ranger fan. We were calling him Fouliot and Sucks a Lot and the whole thing and
Poo a Lot.
Yeah, I mean, but he's having a career season at such a cheap price. I mean, you got to give credit to whoever's to Sather or whether it's. The assistant GM, whose name for some reason escapes me at this point. What's
Jeff
his name
Gordon.
Again? Yeah. Jeff Gordon. I mean, whoever's doing that, that was a tremendous addition, I think, for the price. That line is clicked. Kudos to AV for keeping that line together predominantly for most of the year, something we didn't see under the other coach. There were a lot of guys coming. Derek Brassard, like you mentioned, great season. Strowman was solid. I've seen people kind of criticize him. I don't understand how you could criticize a guy, a number four defenseman, who is being paid that little and is consistent night after night defensively. Maybe offensively he's a little bit challenged, but for four, I also applaud the management for getting rid of Michael Delzato and getting Kevin Klein. I think he kind of shored up that 5-6, which with him and John Moore is more palatable when McDonough's playing than or Rafi Diaz. They kind of shored up. I still think they got a lot of improvement. They could improve a lot on that 5-6, but it's tough to get guys cheap, and they're very capable. So the Rangers are solid defensively with McDonough. I mean, oh, did I mention Rafael Diaz? And I know you're going to disagree with me on this, but and I do think he's expendable, but really that fourth line is about played about as good as a Ranger fourth line's played in quite a while. I think that's mainly due to Dominic Moore, who was another guy that had missed a year of the season. He's up for the Bill Masterson Trophy. I think he improved as the year went on after kind of a shaky start. He's been the catalyst, no matter who's been playing on that fourth line. Now, Boyle, who I've always thought is a fourth liner, I don't think he's played that bad. He needs to score more, and he needs to be better on faceoffs. Do I think he's atrocious? No, but I think they could improve on him. And Dorsett's played fairly decent. Carcillo had to ride the pine in lieu of going with Dorsett. I like Dorsett a little bit more. He's a little bit speedy, and he has a little bit more finish. But Carcillo's a kind of an instigator. You know, they were able to get a fourth line going. I mean, and they spread the goal scoring around. And I know Nash was a disappointment when you really look at the thing, but they were able to get a lot of 20 goal scorers out of this team, or close to it. And contribution from McDonough with, I guess he had 14 goals. So things look good, but there are some problems.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to, what I was going to say before was, I texted you this last night, you know, it's not to belabor the point, but I'm just trying to, present an idea here. You know, if Alain Vigneault is not the coach of this team, okay, if they are still under the old coach, Matt Zuccarello is nothing but a fourth liner who is bouncing back and forth between Hartford, getting occasional call ups when somebody gets hurt. Okay, Brad Richards. And I know, I have no idea how to look at Brad Richards' season because, he's got 20 goals, he's got 31 assists, 51 points, but they seem to come in bunches, just like last night, two goals. It all seems to come in bunches for him. Chris Kreider, probably riding on the same bus as Matt Zuccarello. Benoit Pouliot, probably not even on this team. You wouldn't even have a fourth line because we all know that the old coach didn't believe in a fourth line.
That's right.
You know,
played all his players to death.
I mean, you really got to take your hat off to Alain Vigneault with what he's done with this team and what they've done with some guys, a couple of guys, scrap heap guys, really. Dominic Moore, this was a guy who was off out of hockey for a year, and he's bounced around a little bit in his career. He's played very well. Boyle, I think, has played okay. He's gone from lousy to okay, on that fourth line. He's been all right. Carcillo, another guy that's played okay. Rafael Diaz, he's been okay. Look at the roster. Aaron Asham has played six games. How many games do you think he'd play he'd have right now under the old regime? He'd probably be in his 30th or 40th game. Darryl Powell, there's another one.
Same thing with Darryl Powell. No goals.
Right.
He would have been 50 games.
Those
guys eat up Kreider and Zuccarello games under the other guy. Go ahead.
He has done what he said he was going to do at his press conference. He was going to use the guys to do what they do best, and he was going to roll four lines. I made a big deal out of it the day we did the show, the day he was hired, or the day of his press conference. He said he was going to roll four lines, and God damn it, the man rolls four lines. And it's helped. And this speed that they have, you know, there's an adage in baseball, speed never slumps. And I think it's the same in hockey. When you have guys that can move the puck fast, it just everything else just steamrolls from it. You know, there's a couple of guys here and there that I can nitpick. I would have liked to have seen a little more than three goals out of Mark Stahl, considering he had two in four preseason games. Little nitpicky things. I don't think John Moore's played as well as a lot of us expected him to. Dan Girardi has managed to have 24 points. Still needs to stick up for his teammates. He's still catching hell for it. I love it. Some of the stuff I've seen is tremendous. But lastly, and then I'll let you get to your points, Eddie. I thought Kevin Klein. I thought Phoebe had a bit of a rough game last night.
He got caught out of position. I think on the first goal.
Yeah, he was lost.
Yeah, he was lost. He got lost to the shovel. But that's, if you look at that first goal, though, dude, it was totally lucky. It hit off the side of the net and went right to the guy. But, yeah, that they look like they were like the Keystone Cops out there, certainly. And they're going to be nice when he's like that. But, you know, a lot of times, and we're going to see in these playoffs, really, how good these guys can elevate their level and really lock it down. Maybe you see them. He shortens the bench in the playoffs. I don't know what he's going to do. But I was just like, you know, I had to.
I don't know.
Why would you change
productive.
It?
Right. Why that fourth line's been productive, and I think they've been able to give the other three lines enough rest so that they can stay productive, and they've done what you want the fourth line to do. Generate a little bit of offense, which was always my bitch about the fourth line, and keep the forecheck going. I mean that one game last week that we talked about, maybe it had been which game was it? Was it the Canucks game? It might have been the Canucks game. They were dominant. That fourth line dominated that game.
And we've seen that be the Rangers' Achilles heel, with their opponents. Their fourth lines bring it. And our fourth line previous to this coach was a line that spent their time entirely in their own zone with Henrik getting pounded. And now we're on the other side of the rink getting the forecheck going, working their defense, and taking advantage. I mean, it's a good thing to see. I mean, I think it's going to be very integral part of the playoffs if this fourth line can continue to do this. I was just like I was kind of ruffling through papers here, and I was like, came with this Wall Street Journal article from February 20th, 2013. The rookie with the life of a yo-yo. The Rangers keep shifting young forward Chris Kreider in and out of lineup. And then out of the lineup, sometimes for mysterious reasons. Now, I know everybody hates Pierre Maguire, but I tell you, he did say one, I thought he really gave out a pearl of wisdom when he said, Vigneault concentrates on what the players can do, not what they can't do.
Right.
And he doesn't base them on their shortcomings, their playing time. It's what they can do. And that's the difference from the old coach. And like you said, he talked plainly. A lot of us didn't believe it about him rolling four lines. I think he's the main reason that the Rangers are where they are. They had the power play fixed until the Olympic break, and then it went to shit again. They did well last night. I hope that's a sign to come. I think St. Louis is playing better. He had three assists last night. If they can get him going with goal scoring, and if he can get hot, and if Nash, I don't know. Nash, to me, seems like he goes off the radar. I don't know what it is. I'm starting to doubt this guy. I really am. I'm in a place where, I just don't know why he isn't as dominant. Is that because, you know, maybe that first line is, I mean, they've been getting the points. I mean, they have good points. I feel like the Rangers have two number two centers and not a number one center. I feel like Stepan was a guy that we had high expectations for. You want me to talk? I want to talk about a little bit about some of the bad stuff. He held out. It hurt him. And he's getting better now. But his stats are nowhere to where they were during the lockout season, and what we really expected him. And we did a mea culpa with him last year and said we were wrong. And I think he's had a decent year, but not the kind of year a number one center should have playing with Rick Nash and Martin St. Louis now, but. I mean, those are a couple of the, you know, some of the more negative things. I mean, they're not, you know, the playoffs is a whole new season, so all this stuff gets erased. You know, I know Brad Richards is going to be bought out, but I really don't understand. I mean, I understand we can get better for the money. But when we signed this guy, what did we think we were going to get? I mean, he's not even a second-line player anymore, and he had 20 goals and 31 assists and
right.
50 points. That's pretty good. Do I think – but I also agree that he's been extremely streaky. Before
yeah.
this, I thought he was poisoning every line he was playing on. I can't take to the guy. I don't know what it is, but he scored some big goals in the playoffs for the Rangers. So the Rangers have that going, but the big question mark is, can Rick Nash come and play in the playoffs and be a force? Can Martin
and
St. Louis?
That's been his bugaboo in the past.
That's been his bane. You know, the playoffs have been his bugaboo. Like, exactly, like you said, his bugaboo. If they can get Nash or St. Louis really hot, they can go places, because I think the Zuccarello line will ultimately contribute. Broussard had a great playoff last year. He led the team in, I think, playoff points. He's been another guy. We've heard criticism from people that we know that we supposedly know a lot. He had a very good season. And there's no doubt about it.
I think if you look at the stats right now and you see – Matt Zuccarello at 58 points, 19 goals, 39 assists. I don't know a Ranger fan on the planet that wouldn't sign up for that in October. 50 points out of Brad Richards. I'm pretty sure everybody would have signed up for that as well. And 44 points out of Broussard, almost 20 goals, 26 assists. I mean, really, you know, if you go down, if you work your way down the stats, and I know I defended him a couple of weeks ago, you know, with the games, with the concussion, you know, how much effect that had on him, even when he came back, we'll never know. But, you know, the most glaring number, really, when you look at all of it, is Rick Nash at 38 points in 63
right.
games. I mean,
yeah,
everything else you would have signed up for, I think, in a heartbeat. Brian Boyle, 18 points. Dominic Moore, 18 points on the fourth line. Dan Girardi, 24 points. Carl Hagelin.
Only three power play points, by the way. Carl Hagelin had a really good – I mean, I don't think Carl Hagelin, he does lack finish, but, hey, he got his goals. You can't take that away from him. I mean, he had a good season. I think everybody really had a good, solid season. And for the first time since, I don't know, for a long time, the Rangers are going into a playoff series with not just one main gun to rely on, whether it had been Yager, whether it had been Gaborik, whether it had been Nash like last year. The Rangers are going in with a team that contributes all from every area, especially if the healthy McDonough. I mean, he's had the most goals in a season since Brian Leach. They're getting a little bit more production from the back line. What I would like to see the Rangers do, which they got away from post-Olympic break, was get people in front of the net at all times and just take that shot from the point and get traffic. Always have somebody in front of that net. And they did a lot of that, I think, because the coaching staff really emphasized it, and that was like, this is the way we're going to play. And I think they've got to get back to that. But the Rangers come to play predominantly every night, and they have a goaltender that is highly capable of stealing games. They have a defense that, okay, it may not be as deep as some of the more elite teams, but it's certainly capable of playing well. They, after getting off to that horrendous start, they finished very well defensively. I don't know exactly where they finished in team defense as far as goals allowed, but I would certainly think it's in the top 10, probably even higher than that. I think I read somewhere that it was higher. Now, people always say to me, and yeah, excuse me if I'm going on a little bit about this, but people always say, well, you know, we don't have as much grit as Boston, or we don't have as much grit as Chicago. And yes, that may be true, but do you know how many? There isn't a Jonathan Toews on this team. There isn't a Patrick Kane on this team. There's not. I mean, arguably, Duncan Keith is better than Ryan McDonough. I mean, I think he is, but Ryan McDonough could be as good as Duncan Keith one day. We don't have anybody like Patrice Bergeron, who's a Selke Trophy winner, who can play both ends of the ice, is tremendous on faceoffs. We don't have a lot of these guys. We don't have a Milan Lucic. I mean, the guy's he's an anomaly. There just aren't those type of players here. So I think with the way it's set up, there are only a few teams that I really would be afraid of, and Boston would be one of them. Pittsburgh, I think you're right. They have Fleury is not solid, and, you know, Malkin's hurt. Now, Letang is returning after that stroke. I mean, can he just take a year off? I mean, I don't understand that.
That's crazy.
And Ray Shiro saying, well, you know, hockey couldn't set the stroke off. He could, you know, walking down the street could set off another stroke. No, I think if you're playing it with your blood rushing through your brain at 50,000 miles an hour, maybe something bad could happen.
Right.
It's not like you're sitting at home playing Xbox. You know, things could happen. And I see a lot of positives in the first. I love the way the coach is conducting himself. I like the fact that they have several coaches working on things. So I'm getting off my soapbox for a little bit, but that's basically all the thoughts I have.
And, you know, somebody in the group, I think it was Phil Bogner, brought up a good point today, that the Rangers are, I think, third in the conference. I'm actually looking at the numbers here. One, two, maybe second in the conference in goals allowed. It's not bad for a team that is changing styles from a defensive, defense first,
right,
more up tempo game. It's pretty good, but when you've got the solid goaltending that they've had, that certainly doesn't hurt.
No. I mean, Hank got off to a little slow start, but, you know, he's doing all the shampoo commercials, Mr. Head and Shoulders, but... And then there was that stretch when the great Gambino had, like, two or three games and everybody was losing their shit in Rangerville. You know, it kind of set the tone. I mean, Hank came strong. Maybe he needed that little kick in the ass. And I don't know. So what are the playoff scenarios? Do we have any scenarios yet? First of all, I need to know, are the Devils officially out, or are they still waiting on something with the Blue Jackets to lose out or something?
Devils have three games left. I believe they would need hold on, I don't know how. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Steve Nola says the Devils are out.
Yeah, I think they're out. I believe they are out.
When I get a confirmation from more than 2 or 3 people, say, now Howie's saying no.
Right.
Columbus has to win. Okay. So my big hearty har and laugh fest.
I like what Mario said. I don't have my advanced degree from MIT, so I can't figure out the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, really, I can't even figure out this.
The football playoffs are easier to understand.
I mean, this is like, you know, with Roe and the wild card and this, and I don't understand. It's like trying to figure out who's going to win the Battle Royal. I don't know. I'm going to go Gorilla Monsoon. But I don't know what. I want to save that big laugh. And it's coming. With Pete DeBoring and that whole no-name team. I frankly haven't a clue who's on that team. Anyway, and my friend was listening to the Devil broadcast on the radio because he had some guy in the fantasy. I think he had Schneider in his fantasy team. And he said they were reciting the playoff picture, and the guy was like, and the Rangers are in, unfortunately. Like, even their announcers are, like, totally not professional. Like,
no, that was Sherry Ross. That was the woman I heard about.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was Sherry Ross. Yeah. She's like Susan Walton.
What kind of Bush League bullshit is that? Bullshit is that?
Yeah, meanwhile, we got to sit and listen to 100 commercials about the Devils during a goddamn Ranger game. MSG owned the fucking network, owns the team. And I got to hear about the Devils coming up. You know, John Cangelosi and Chico Resch bring you all the boring action from a half-empty arena in a war zone in New Jersey.
Where does the jealousy come from? I mean, I don't understand. What the hell do they have to be jealous and envious about?
They won three goddamn cups in the last 15 years.
Yeah, is it because we get the press
years.
And people know them? That people come to our games and sell out, and we have the fans are in Connecticut and Long Island and in Jersey and Manhattan and Queens, the 5 boroughs. Are they jealous that we just people love the Rangers despite how much they suck? I mean, really, I mean... this franchise has done shit except for 1 year. I mean, we make the playoffs at least. That's been a recent trend.
Right.
How about the 7 years
we
did make
years,
the playoffs?
Right.
I mean, after a long streak, we got a owner who's completely... I mean, unless he dies, it's the only way he's ever going to... And the same thing goes for the GM. We have to hope that God takes him because they're never going anywhere. They got to see the white light before we ever see the light of any kind of good ownership and management on this freaking day. And why are they so jealous? Why? Why do they even announce this feeling? I mean, to be... give it a break. Who is this? Sherry, what's her name?
Sherry Ross.
Did she do the lamb chop?
That was Sherry Lewis.
What did you do, that lamb chop thing? That was so terrible. Wasn't it? It's just like a sock.
Charlie
like,
Horse.
Dude on ice.
Oh, my son absolutely loved that when he was little.
Really?
Charlie,
that was a rat.
Charlie Horse and Hush Puppy and Lamb Chop, yep. Sherry Lewis. Oh. And the song that never ends.
God. That whole fan base is... low class.
Who, Lamb Chop?
No, not the Lamb Chop.
We got to get that.
You want to get Sherry Lewis clip now?
I bet I can find one.
We can check in with Devil's announcer Sherry Lewis. Yeah, Marty ate Lamb Chop, Mario. Very good. One of our head writers here, Mario Moncada.
Yes.
Messing Gretz, too. He's a good writer as well.
The Al Franken of the show.
Seriously, what is with these Devil fans? I mean, the double fan that the post office guy I know, he's okay, but he likes to give me shit. But I told him at the beginning of the year, I said, the Rangers are going to be good. Now, let me ask you this, since I... How many points did the Rangers have last year and compared to this year?
What
is H. Frank against the Torts years?
I will tell you in a second. Hold on. Well, last year was a lockout year. Can't really compare.
Right.
They had 56 points. The year before, which was the year they made the run to the Eastern Conference Finals, that everyone that some people seem to think they had 109 points.
Yeah, that was a good season.
But if you remember correctly, that team, you know, they played like gangbusters and then ran out of gas the last two seasons and then pretty much rode Hendrick into the Eastern Conference Finals and then got beat by the Devils' fourth line in six games,
oh,
or whatever it was.
Oh, that Hendrick goal, the Garden. Oh, that one I'm still feeling. Yeah, that was when they had that whole Ryan Carter and, like, all these idiots. They still have the idiots.
You know, I saw this on Twitter the other night, and I hate to keep going back to this, but some Ranger fans are just fucking idiots.
I want to address that, too. Go ahead.
This guy the other night on Twitter says, Ranger fan says, you know, Ranger fans who bash John Tortorella aren't real fans. He raised them to another level. What level?
What level?
They were a mediocre, middle-of-the-pack playoff team when he took over, and they were a mediocre, middle-of-the-pack playoff team when he left. Right or wrong? They made one run to the Eastern Conference Finals with Rennie, didn't they? Did they get to the Eastern once, right?
No. Wait.
Did they get? I don't remember now. Did the 1 year back from the knockout,
so.
Did they go to the ECF? No, maybe not. Maybe it was the Eastern semis. But
yeah, they lost to Buffalo. That was the Michael Roosevelt overtime goal series. Yes.
But that's all they were. And that's all they were on the Tortorella.
Yes.
And that may be all they are under AV.
His first year, maybe. I mean, yeah. But the style was just not conducive to winning. Come on, guys. I mean,
we saw it.
They
you
play
know, this
endless
wasn't...
overtimes, no scoring.
You know, to talk about what John Tortorella has done, to talk about it like he was Bill Parcells completely resurrecting the Giants franchise. That's really the only comparison I could, even Bill Parcells resurrecting the Jets franchise for that matter.
And then leaving.
Well, he did that to everybody. but you understand what I'm saying. In my opinion, the Rangers were right where he found them. Run-of-the-mill, playoff, also ran, still having to play seven games to get rid of the Washington Capitals.
And how many overtimes? Countless overtimes. If you added all the overtimes in a seven-game series, it probably came out to like 10 games. And then this idiot, how did Vancouver... We were saying how Vancouver's smart. They're getting rid of him after 1 year. Well, they ain't so smart. They fired the GM. Now they got Trevor Linden in there as hockey operations guy. They're going to go with Torts again. The Steve must want to go back to Sweden. They got to deal with another 50-point season with this guy? Eddie Lack. The guy's a stiff. He played him at the last 20 games.
And it's funny to think about it, but all of a sudden, those Sedins, they're no spring chickens anymore.
No.
Those two are in their mid-30s. The window's closing on those two creeps.
That's right. They're getting long in the tooth.
Columbus up 3-0 over Dallas, by the way, in the first period.
Good.
I got the game.
I'm going to be classless to this. Shari Lewis right now.
Dallas, not the Devils. Dallas. Columbus is beating Dallas. But fuck Dallas, too.
Yeah, but no, if Columbus wins, I think, if I think Columbus wins, the Devils are out.
Oh, is that what? Oh, that's right. That's right. We got to go back to that conversation. Okay. Well, I got the Columbus game on in the background. It's 3-0 in the first period already.
Well, this is the Rich Peverly makeup game. This is the game that started off 1-0 and is being continued because Peverly had the hardest.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. They were what'd they come up with for this game? It was going to start 1-0, but start from the beginning of the first period, right?
I think they were starting
the game from the very beginning, but giving Columbus a 1-0 lead and whoever had the goal counted. Very odd. Only the NHL does shit like this, by the way. No
Why
other
can't
league
just started for what had happened.
No other league comes up with these cockamamie, the ridiculous ideas.
It's like WWE. This is making this shit up. It's a script.
Really? I mean, you know, you go back and look at the and I'm not even blaming Bettman for this, because, I mean, it's just the ridiculous history of this league. Like, they let the Gund brothers sell the North Stars so that they could buy the Sharks, and they let them take 5 players from the North Stars with them to the Sharks. What other league does shit like that? I mean, it really is. It's like the Clyde Beatty Circus. I mean, not even Ringling Brothers. I mean,
well, Mario Lemieux said this, and I think Mario Lemieux is a douche, but he said many years ago during his playing days that this was a garage league. He's right. It's a garage league. It's like AWA wrestling. It's not even WWE.
I know baseball's got its issues and its, you know, idiosyncrasies, and so does football, but hockey is just so cockamamie, the way everything is done. The playoff system is ridiculous. You know, having a game suspended when it's 1-0 and then deciding to start it all the way back from the beginning, but it's still 1-0. There's no other league that does things like this.
Like, well, the guy had a heart issue, so we'll give you some more time, but you're really still down 1-0.
Right.
I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me.
We merge teams. We do, you know, the league just takes over teams. We won't move teams. We got 8,000 people in an 18,000 seat arena, but God forbid we relocate them to a city that might want them. You know, just
right.
You know, more failing franchises.
Yeah, let's just fudge the. Come on, the Islanders haven't drawn in like forever since they lost the cup last time. How is
right.
that? Now they're moving to Brooklyn. They got a rink that the scoreboard is on one side of the rink. I mean, they don't have fans on one side.
It's going to be like the old Shea Stadium where you got to roll the bleachers out on railroad tracks that the Jets can play.
To this? And it's not like they're going to redo the Barclays Center.
No.
That's how it's going to be forever.
Yeah. I can't see, we said it before, I cannot see them surviving in Brooklyn. I just can't.
I don't think it's going to happen, but listen, I hate the Islanders, so I don't want it to happen. But you hear other people say, oh, yeah, they'll draw there. I go, I don't think Islander fans can travel. I don't think they can handle that.
I think it's too
complicated for them to take the railroad.
But if their fan base is on Long Island, and I understand that Brooklyn is technically a part of Long Island. But if you're talking about Nassau County, Suffolk County, what's the other one out there? It's just those two counties?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're, you know, and they are kind of, what, maybe a third of the way out the island. If you're looking at the map, they're in Uniondale. That's what, about a third. I don't know my Long Island geography very well, except I know where Lake Ronkonkoma is.
It's about a half hour, 40 minutes from the city. Half hour from the city.
So I don't understand the rationale where if they're not drawing in the middle of where their fan base is, if they're not drawing there, why would you move them into smack dab in the middle of another team's fan base?
Because they think they can develop a fan base in that area because it's a growing area. It's more of like a hipster type of area, which I don't think is going to bring in a hockey fan. Hockey fans are dedicated. Listen, the Islanders do have some very dedicated fans. Are they morons? Yes. Are they insane? Yes. But they do. And I don't think fans are going to be able to attend the games. The Ranger fan is so dedicated. He will pay, like for me, if I were to take the train in right now, it would probably cost me about, about $25, $26. No, more than that. Like about $30 round trip. Okay? Then I got to go get the tickets, and the tickets of whatever they are, $60, $70, that's $100. Then the food and the blah, 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 blah. I don't think, and the Coliseum is really, the Islanders really depend on the families. There's a lot of kids that go to that game. You noticed it in the stadium series that they had this year. There were a lot of young people.
I apologize, I lost my internet.
Oh, you were gone? I'm sorry.
No,
I was actually pontificating while you were away. And
I apologize.
Welcome back, Jim. And I don't. That is a very family-driven fan base. There's a lot of youth groups that go to these games. There isn't like, the Stephen Schaefers and the Mario Morgados who go, they're diehard fans, and when they can get tickets, they go and they spend the money and they spend their disposable income and the DB Maven, the guys who make millions of dollars who occasionally come down from their perches to bleed blue with the fellow Ranger fans. Stuff like that.
To sit amongst the minions.
The minions, yes. But, or the Stephen Nolas who will go to the game and yell obscenities. My thing is, I think it's a no-go. I want it to be a no-go in Brooklyn. I want it to epically fail so I can have another chapter in this loser franchise. We really should have just wound up going to Hamilton.
Yeah, absolutely. Or Seattle, or Kansas City, or any other place that really wants a franchise.
But I've got friends say, "Oh, Brooklyn's a good move for them." There's people just don't become a fan at like the $80 price range. Like I want to go. You can't go to the games like you used to and become a fan of the team. $20.
Right.
Like, or $15 like we used to. And then we go, and then, we started going lesser and lesser as the prices went up. But we got hooked on the Rangers that way, and I don't think you can get hooked that way with the ticket prices the way they are, unless you watch them on TV.
I mean, I've talked about this before. I used to go, this is when I was a teenager, but I would go when tickets went on sale. I would go to Madison Square Garden with the day the tickets went on sale with $100 in my pocket, and I could buy a pair of tickets for five games, and to me that was great.
Yeah.
Now you could buy tickets for one game, and I understand that was a long time ago, but still, it makes a big difference. The average fan has been priced out of being able to go to more than a couple of games a year.
And you think that they're going to, and you think in Brooklyn they're going to pay for that product? And there's no legacy of my father, my grandfather was an Islander fan. I don't see that. I see kind of like a default. I live on Long Island, so I root for the Islanders, you know.
But if there – and I if just, there was – because the argument that I would make, if there was, why aren't they going to the games now? What makes them think all of a sudden that, you know, that this legacy of being a, you know, a family Islander fan, I'm a third-generation Islander fan, what makes them think that's going to happen and all of a sudden that's going to come back to fruition in Brooklyn?
I just think they had nowhere else to go. They wanted out of the Coliseum so bad because that place is just a rat trap, fire trap.
And why – and the other thing I don't understand is why after – this man fought for so many years to get an arena built and get his outhouse project built on Long Island. And all the trouble he went to and the votes and the, and that great rally where 200 people showed up to see Blue Oyster Cult rally for the Islanders, for the outhouse project. I mean, all the – and granted, we poke fun at the man – because he's the owner of the Islanders. But he did do a lot of work to try and make that franchise successful.
No, he had a whole plan and everything. I mean, he was...
And when the plan failed, okay, we'll take the next best option. We'll move them to Brooklyn so that the team at least doesn't have to leave the tri-state area. But now he wants to sell. Now he wants out. That's the other thing I don't understand.
Well, he knows it's a losing proposition. This, you know, it's a losing proposition for them. And I want to get back to where this all started was when we start talking about stupid Ranger fans. Guys, you know everybody in this chat room and predominantly everybody on the Facebook group. I think you guys know your shit. That's why I ask you questions, because you know the shit better than I do. But there are some fucking dummy Ranger fans out there. If I got to hear... same old Rangers getting the washed up players like St. Louis. He won the Art Ross Trophy last year. How washed up was he? He had 29 goals before he came here. Washed up? Stop. Stop talking about freaking Ken Hodge. Like he's Ken Hodge. Everything is like goes with same old Rangers. No. I mean, there's some similarities, but those days are over. I mean, they're dead and gone. I mean, same old Rangers get the washed up players. First of all, they traded Ryan Callahan. Get over it. It's over. Stop sulking. Okay?
Right.
Like you said last week, I don't want to follow his stats. I don't want to do a comparison between. He's not on the team anymore. But we should have kept him around for the playoffs. We shouldn't have traded him. Why?
Why?
Why? The penalty killing has been better. It's more dynamic. Yes, Callie's a good player, but I don't think he's going to make an ounce of difference whether they succeed in this playoffs or not. And frankly, if you said at the last game of the season, you can either have Ryan Callahan for this upcoming playoff series or Marty St. Louis, you'd be a moron to say you want Callahan, who really, in the playoffs, hasn't been exactly like a superstar.
Right.
I mean, he does what he does, but I just hate Ranger fans who are like, they're casual fans who just like to say the same old shit over and over again. Oh, always getting the big name players and they never pan out. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, just shut up. Get off. Get off the internet. I don't want to see you. Your stupid-ass opinions. Oh, soft Rangers. Same old soft Rangers. God. What do they think this is? Oh, Del Rolf all over again. God, it happened 50 years ago, for Christ's sake. Let it go. Del Rolf, they fucking... They referenced that. Dale Roth. Oh, God.
I was 4 years old, by the way, with Dale Roth.
Yeah. I've watched that game. That had nothing to do why the Rangers lost that game or why they lost the series. It had nothing to do that he got pummeled by Dave Silzagoon.
Dale Ralph, oh, you remember that?
Shut up. It's time to let it go. This is a whole different era of hockey. We are playing in such a different... It barely a facsimile of what it used to be 20 years ago, and it's barely a facsimile of what it is 40 years ago. There are no... These guys today would skate circles around any of those
around
teams.
Around the 94 team. How many guys on the 20 years. How many guys on the 94 team did you... Wow, he's a great skater. Kovalev?
Messier was a good skater. Messier, Leach, Kovalev.
Kovalev.
Brian Noonan. No, I don't know. Who else?
Gartner before Messier ran him out of town.
You always bring that one up.
Turcotte before Messier ran him out of town.
Look,
James
see,
Patrick before Messier ran him out of town.
Brian Boyle would be a great skater in 1992.
Oh, yeah. Would have been a first line, maybe not first line, second line center.
Oh, Kelly Kissio?
I love Kelly Kissio. Best captain the Rangers have ever had. Should have retired
John
his number.
What's the other line? Who was he on? Ogrodnik? Kissio and
Mullen?
Brian Mullen? Yeah, I would
Brian Mullen play with. Might have been Brian Mullen.
No. Whatever happened to Kelly Kissio?
He is the last I looked, because I have tried a couple of times to get him on the show. Last I looked, he was the general manager of the Calgary Hitmen, which I don't know if it still is, but was Bret Hart's. The wrestler was Bret Hart. He owned part of that team.
Oh.
I don't know if he. Well, let's use this Google thing here. Let's see. Kelly Kissio, former general manager of the Calgary.
Uh-oh. He may be available for the show, folks.
Yeah, he might be available if we need a third. If we need a co-host.
Let's go to Kelly Kissio with the update.
Yeah, Kelly Kissio can be our between the benches guy. doesn't say, just says former GM of the Calgary Hitmen. That's it. That is it.
So,
ranked number 80 on the all-time list of New York Rangers in the book 100 Ranger Greats. I got to ask Russ and Adam next time we talk to them on the show if they went in and updated all the Wikipedias for the Ranger Greats, because it seems like every one of them that I look up on Wikipedia, it always tells you where they are in the Ranger Greats book. We should update guys who have been on this show, we should update their Wikipedia page. Appeared on Blue Shirt Underground Radio in 2012. Rod Sealing appeared on. I was thinking about that the other day. That was one of our most uncomfortable moments. When him and Emil started, I didn't get rid of you for that. Well, I'm going to disagree with you, Emil. I think it had something to do. They started.
Yeah.
It got a little uncomfortable.
Got a little uncomfortable there. Who was the guy, who was the guy, Emil Francis? We tried to get on the show. He said he couldn't find himself out of a phone booth. What guy was that?
Oh, shit.
He was terrible, Ranger. He was a highly touted guy, and he was not
good. What the hell was his name? I could actually picture him, but I can't think of his name.
He kind of confirmed he was going to be on the show, and then he never got back to us. Pat Price, no, that was a Phil Esposito pickup.
Couldn't find his way out of a... I remember Emil saying that. What the hell was the guy's name?
Come on, everybody knows this guy. He was terrible. He was a terrible Ranger of the 70s.
Let me go pull up the...
No, it wasn't Larry Satcher. Larry Satcher was, like, involved in, like, 400 deals. He was, like, a Ranger, and then he was a Blue, then he was a Ranger, and then he was a Rocky.
As soon as
Greg
I
Polis?
See the name, I'll
I love Greg Polis.
Greg Polis.
The Polis Prince.
Let's Polis. See.
I love Greg Polis. He's one of my favorite Rangers back then. He's big and stocky.
Yeah, it was Glenn Sather. No, hold on. I'm looking at
Lucien Devlois.
No,
Lucien Devlois. He was twice a Ranger.
Yeah, well, that's because Espo brought everybody back that he played with. Everybody got a second chance.
It's Emil Francis, guy that was a terrible Ranger. I think he was a high draft pick, or he was a high draft pick of somebody else. And we got him, and he stunk it up.
Real Lemieux. No, I know it wasn't him.
Man. Josh Gibble says he's going to sell to us for $150.
Give me a minute. I will find his name, because we've talked about him a couple of times.
Come on, the guy's lame. He's considered like a Ranger all-time lame-o. But it's like, you know, it's kind of older. It's like 1974, maybe.
Maybe I'm too far back here. Hold on. Let me move back into the 70s. You go ahead.
I was going to say, with Emil, you know, everybody thinks like Emil like ended with the Rangers, but he went on to what? St. Louis and Hartford, didn't he?
St. Louis and Hartford. Built a pretty successful team. Gene Carr.
There we go.
That's his name. Gene Carr. I knew I'd pick it up as soon as I saw it. Gene Carr played with the Rangers in 72. He was on the 71-72 team. He was on the 72-73 team and the 73-74 team. And then Emil dispatched him to the Los Angeles Kings for... Oh, this is one of his good... Oh, this was a good trade he made.
That's a good trade.
Emil traded him to Los Angeles and got a first-round pick for him, which was used. He got a pick in the 1976. He got a first-round pick in 77, traded him in 74, got a 77 first-round pick, which who was the GM in 77? Would that have been John Ferguson?
John Ferguson, yeah.
Was used to
John
pick
Ferguson.
Ron Duguay.
Wow! What is Duguay wearing nowadays? I don't even get it. He's got like that soul patch. I think he's just trying to be like stupid so people make fun of him, and then he's no more noticeable than the other bald bastards.
You know, I know we've talked about this before. We know Emil, of course, will always take a hit for the Esposito trade. But he was he had some spectacular drafts.
Good Mario Roller.
Drafted Maloney and Greschner 1 and 2 in 19. Same draft.
Use the king's pick to select the queen.
Who said that?
Mario. He's on fire tonight.
Very good, Mario.
The Cuban missile is firing.
Okay, how's this for a fall off, though? Ready? 1974, in the same draft, Emil grabs Maloney in the first round, Greschner in the second round. So between the two of them, he gets about 1,500 games of worth of players. Eddie Johnstone in the same draft. And then who else? He grabbed somebody else here who had a decent... Warren Miller. I don't know if Warren Miller actually made it to the Rangers, but he did have a decent NHL career. But then
yeah,
in 1970... in 75, he drafts Wayne Dillon, Doug Sotart, and Greg Hickey in the first three rounds.
Yeah, that was when they started doing the brother thing.
And Bud Stefanski in the ninth round.
That's one of my favorite names. I think you take the yearbook, and I used to look in the back who was up and coming, like the A's.
Right.
Bud's the fancy.
He was in there every year for 10 years.
He was up and coming. We went through all the brothers. The last of the stupid brothers was Fedorov, which is still one of my favorites.
And here's another good one for you. The 77 draft was just like a who's who of obscure Rangers. Now, okay, Deblois and Duguay were both picked in the first round, and those were guys that had good NHL careers.
Oh, yeah,
but then you had Mike Keating, Steve Baker, Benoit Gosselin, Lance Nethery all came in that draft.
Yeah. No. Hey, can someone fucking tell Cutter to stop giving us basketball updates?
Nobody cares.
I know. Are the Laughs officially out of it, too, or are they out?
I think they're out.
Yeah, you look like shit again.
The only thing I care about in basketball is I want the Nets to win more games than the Knicks. Because I want the Knicks to be as big a disaster as they possibly can. Because that's where James Dolan focuses all his energy, is on his basketball team. So I want them to be an absolute disaster.
I'm with you on that. I like the buzz, though, when the Rangers and Knicks are doing well. It's got a different buzz in the Garden. But fuck basketball. What do I care about that fucking game? A game where you score 50 times a night. I mean, come on, how much does that mean? Scoring means nothing. Or some of my friends call it African round ball. A little politically incorrect there, but anyway. So
Doug Sullivan, Ed Hospodar, and Pat Conacher. In the 1979 draft. I'm running through the draft picks, obviously.
You just, like, those two drafts, the last two drafts, are like half the Hartford Whalers teams. They went up on Whaler teams, those guys.
Yeah.
Baboon Bow.
Oh, my God. Coast is here.
Oh, my God. This fucking show is off the rails. So, when would the playoffs start?
A week from tonight, I believe.
That's what
I heard Sam and Joe say last week, that I think the first round would start on approximately the 16th.
Well, I don't believe it until I hear from an established source. Those guys don't know what's going on.
Until Darren Drager tweets it, you don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe anything else. Man, they couldn't stop with that stall stuff last night.
Can they ever?
Oh, the parents are here. I mean, they were gushing like it was the first time it's ever happened.
And then even when one of them had done nothing, they had to be, you know whose name we haven't called all night, Sam? Eric Stahl. You haven't seen him all night long. Oh, Joe, you're right. And I love. I think it was the second goal. Sam had a great goal call on a beautiful pass from Pat Zuccarello.
Yeah. Oh, God. God bless those idiots.
I love them.
They are a comedy. Yeah, but they're a comedy reservoir. This is feet. Let's just keep feeding. So anyway, Jim, I think that wraps it up, right?
Well, with Costa here, I just want to know, is Letang coming back for the pay? Is that good for business? Good for business?
Is that coming back? I tell you, it's getting dangerous to be a hockey player out there. People having heart attacks, stroking out, and everything.
Oh.
Everything.
Used to be, guys just, break an ankle or separate a shoulder or something. Now, I mean, Christ.
Yeah. Worst thing was alcoholism.
Yeah.
Not embolisms, alcoholism. Everybody's just drunk and out of shape.
Yeah.
That's the way to go, is go drunk and out of shape. Then you don't get all these crazy things. Oh, look at this. CBJ with the sides cut off is up 3-0 over Dallas.
Yeah, Steven, I reported that a half hour ago.
Yeah, really? What is the what period is that game in?
14:06 remaining in the second period.
Second. Okay. Well, it's a long way to go.
Unless they decide to restart the game again. You know, maybe Peverly will fake a stroke to try and start this game over or something.
Jordy Ben will fake a stroke.
Meanwhile, the Penguins got Kirk Douglas skating for him tonight. Like Dick Clark on ice.
I accept it so long. I'm sorry.
What
Dick
are
Clark.
You saying?
Dick Clark. I'm pretty sure they just had a pole in his back for the last 5-10 years he was there. And somebody moved his mouth behind him. And let's count it down. 9, 10, 28, 3, 7.
Don't throw us away. Give us a job.
Happy 1998. It's 2010, you idiot.
No, just like to thank you for letting me be here on another New Year's Eve.
Yeah, they're like Ryan Seacrest looking to jump in his grave.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait for that man to die so he could take over. Ryan, you're the best. Yeah. Hey, come on.
Coming up next on the American Bandstand, Herman the Hermit.
The Silvers.
Napa.
Napa. Raider Record coming up next. Anyway. So that ends this comedy fest. Check, please, as Costa would say. The Silver Platters. That's a good Brady Bunch reference. So when do you want to do a show next?
Let's see. Let's check the schedule. Why don't we do, let's see, we got Thursday night against the Sabres. Saturday's a big day out here. Me and the boys are heading out to Westgate out in Glendale. We're gonna watch the Rangers and Canadians on Hockey Night in Canada. And then we got nice seats for the Coyotes and Sharks. We're kind of hoping that game means something for the Coyotes, so we could root against them and piss off all the Coyote fans. And we're gonna do what Ranger fans do now, because I think half the people that go to Madison Square Garden to the Ranger games just go there so they could take 50 pictures of themselves at the Ranger game and post them on Facebook. So we're gonna take a picture of ourselves with 10,000 empty seats behind us.
That's very good. Now, Cutter says he's got a birthday we should mention.
Great. Cutter's got a birthday we should mention. All right.
Cutter, next, when's your birthday?
What else is in the news?
What else is this?
Oh, brother. Here, Cutter, here. This is for you.
Oh, boy, a birthday party. Happy, happy birthday to you. Happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Now you're 1 year older.
Happy birthday.
Your life still isn't over.
Happy birthday.
You did not accomplish much, but you didn't die this year. I guess that's good enough.
Happy 16th birthday, Cutter. All right, so why don't we come back?
Happy Sweet 16.
Happy Sweet 16. All right, so Thursday night against the Sabres, Saturday night against Les Habitants, Hockey Night in Canada. Why don't we come back Monday night? We'll know our playoff opponent, and we can begin to talk playoff hockey, and we'll go from there.
All right, Cutter. Happy birthday. Seriously.
Happy birthday, Cutter.
Yeah, we love you. But, yes, playoff hockey will be abound. We'll be psyched. We'll know our opponent. We can start to dissect who we're going to play. And, you know, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it good. I can't wait.
Are we gonna up our amount of shows during the playoffs as we have done?
We gotta bring it. We gotta go full force, man.
We're gonna go.
It's therapy for you. It's therapy for me, and it's therapy for these nuts in this chat room. And it's always fun.
So Monday night we'll do a show. We should know the playoff schedule, and then we could outline the show schedule for the playoffs, or at least the first round.
Okay.
At least the first four games, because whoever they play in the first round, they're going to sweep them anyway. So,
Rangers in three.
Four. All right, I'll take that.
Okay. All right, my friends.
Good night. Take care, everybody. Rangers, baby.
We'll
see you Monday night at what time you want to do? You want to do 8:30 or 9 o'clock? You pick.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Monday night hockey. All right. We'll see you then. Good night, everybody.